Okay, hi guys. Okay, we're up to Parshas, just past Parshas Toldos. And in Parshas Toldos, we get our longest look at the Yitzchak Avinu. But the truth of the matter is, Torah doesn't say very much about Yitzchak. He's kind of a mysterious one of the others. With Avram, there are many stories. The Torah goes by Richas, all about Avram Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we have Kama Parashias. And in Yitzchak, we know very little. In fact, the most we hear about Yitzchak is in this parasha. Parashas Toldos. So who is Yitzchak? What is he all about? Why do we know so little about him? Why is he so mysterious? Who is Yitzchak? What is he? Who is he? So we have a few snippets in the parasha that I think give away a little bit who Yitzchak was. Let's take a look. We have, first of all, we're introduced to Yitzchak early in the parasha. Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishon ashehoy b'mei Avraham. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us, besides the first famine that was in the days of Avraham Avinu, Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech melech plishtim gerora. So we're told that Yitzchak went, he left, I guess the immediate area where he was living, he went to be near Avimelech in Gerar. Vayera elav Hashem, vayomer al terid Mitzrayim. Don't go to Mitzrayim. Now stop. Why Mitzrayim? Who's talking about Mitzrayim? He's on his way to Gerar. He went to live in Gerar. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu step in and tell him, don't go to Mitzrayim? Rashi says, "Shehaya daitoy laredes leMitzrayim, k'may sheyarad aviv v'meharav." The same way his father, once upon a time, went down to Mitzrayim when there was a rav, so Yitzchak was going to do the same thing. His plan was also to go to Mitzrayim, but Hashem steps in and says, "No, you're an oyel tmima. You don't belong in Mitzrayim." Point one. Let's go a little further. What else do we know about Yitzchak? Yitzchak gets to Gerar. Vayishalu anshei makom leishtoi. They start asking about his wife. Vayomer achosihi. She's my sister. Sound familiar? We've seen that before, haven't we? Who did that? Interesting. Let's keep on going. I shall go back a little bit. We're told that Yitzchak didn't have children. So we daven. The Torah tells us that he was 60 years old when his children were born. And why did he wait? So Rashi gives us a cheshbon. He waited till he was 60, but he was married already when he was 40. So he waited 20 years to have children. Rashi tells us, Esther Shanim. Mishnah saw after he got married, he waited till she was 13. Till his wife. His wife got married when she was 3. He waited 13 years until 10 years. He married at 3. Then he waited another 10 years till she was 13. 13 years old. Until, says Rashi, that she was ready to get pregnant. Then she was old enough. Then it says, Ve'esther shanim halolu tzipa ve'himtin lo k'moisha osa aviv l'sara. Just like his father waited by Sarah, after they came into Eretz Yisrael, Yitzchak waited also 10 years, a duplicate of his father. And you'll ask maybe a question, so why didn't Yitzchak do the same thing like his father and perhaps take a shivcha? Rashi jumps right in. Kevin shaloi v'shivcha le'rotz alisa l'fish niskadesh b'har ha'mayriya li'yois oyle t'mima. He couldn't take a shivcha, just like his father. You see a pattern, you guys? It looks like Yitzchak is trying to imitate his father. He's following in the ways of his father. And here, I finally found what I was looking for. Yitzchak gets older. Vayigdal Aish becomes very popular. He gets very powerful. Vayelech holoch v'gadol ad ki gadol meod. And then what does he do? He starts digging wells. V'chol ha-be'erois asher chofru avdei aviv b'mei Avraham aviv sitmon plishtim v'yamalam ofar. And what does Yitzchak do? The plishtim have all gone and filled up all the wells. Vayoshev Yitzchak vayachpar es be'erois samayim asher chofru b'mei Avraham aviv. Vaisatmum plishtim acharei mois Avraham. Vayikra lehen shemois kashemois asher kora lehen aviv. He went to all the wells that his father had dug. He dug them, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that he called them by the same name that his father referred to them. So here I found an amazing Rabbeinu Bechaya. He says, "Mimash haTorah hidia zeh." And I'm reading out the words because they were so powerful to me. I want to share them with you. Exactly. From the fact that Torah went out of its way to tell us the story of the Be'eris, Nira shenekshav loy l'schus, v'yesh bazeh his'eirus, v'kal v'chaymer, shalei yeshane odom miderech avoysov. We learn from here that a person should never be mishane from the derech of his fathers. Shrei Yitzchak, afilu shemois habeeros, shekarois an aviv leirotze leshanoisam. Even the names of the wells, he wouldn't even change them. And get this, I'm not even sure I understand this completely. V'ulai bipnei ze lo nishtana shmoi, k'may shar ha'avos, v'zoi mida k'neged mida. Because he didn't change the names, he was Zeicha Mida Kenegin Mida, that his name should never be changed. Avram became Avram. Yaakov became Yisrael. Yitzchak never got a name change. Not sure what the schus is. Maybe Al Pi Kabbalah we could understand it, that the other Avos had to go through some kind of Shinui and Mahusam to be Avos. Yitzchak never needed that. Whatever it is. We are told that we learn from here the importance of going in the derech of avos. Now, Rabbi, this to me was a bomb. How many Jews are there in the world at this time? Call them Hebrews if you want. Two. Avram and his son. And already we're talking about Messiah. Avram is the pioneer of Yiddishkeit, and Yitzchak is tradition, Messiah. Well, right away, the Torah teaches us that this is the way Avodaseinu, our Avoda, has to be handed down, has to be completely been Messiah. You guys know, there are, in America, right, there are two kinds of people, right? There are liberals and the conservatives. The liberals, those are the people who, they want new ideas, new chidushim. Always want to see things new, modernity, modern. Conservatives, always looking into the past. Now, in America, I'm not exactly sure that it matters very much. You know, there's nothing so significant about the shitas of Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, et cetera, et cetera. That's, for us, not important. But in Yiddishkeit, there's no room for liberalism. The whole Yesod from the beginning was to look Yitzchak. That was what he was, his whole mahus. That's why he's so unknown. Because he essentially was the son of his father, following in the derech of his father. And you know, it's interesting. The Rambam describes to us in Hilchos Avodah Zarah how Avodah Zarah started. He says, Bimei Enosh, Tov b'nei Adam, Tov skedoyla. He describes, they looked up, and they saw the sun and the moon and the stars, and they saw how they revolve and how they run the world, and they started to think, we ought to serve these things and pray to them, and before you know it, Avodah Zarah came into the world. And I asked myself a question. Enosh was born, Adam Arishon, when Shace was born, was 105 years old. Enosh, 130 years old, correct. I'm sorry, I had it right. 130 years old. When Enosh is born from Shace, Shace is 105 years old. That means that Adam Arishon was 235 years old at the time that Enosh is born. I don't know when Enosh started out in Avodah Zarah, but Adam Arishon was alive for almost another over 700 years after Enosh was born. And somewhere along the way, B'nai Adam are making these great cheshbonos, and nobody bothered to ask Adam Arishon. First act of liberalism in the history of the world came in the time of Enosh. So we are told a basic yesod in this week's parasha. The yesod of the cheshivas of going in Darchei Avos. But there's a big question here. I understand that there's an emes in the past. And I understand the people who live once upon a time have a cheshivas. But why is it so important to go there? Why can't I just open up Sfarim and open up the Chumashim or open up a Rambam or a Shulchan Aruch or anything else and know what to do? Why is it so important that we need the Messiah? So the Teretz Rabbeisai is, and I think it should be obvious, that there are things, and you notice the Lashon of the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Darchei Avos min hagoyseim u'musar shalehem. There are so many things in Yiddishkeit that cannot be written down. Torah, as we know it, is essentially a Torah Shebal Peh. It needs a Messiah. And each dar achar dar, hands down, not only until the time that the Torah was written, until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when the Torah Shebal Peh was written, but even things, Musar things, things that can't exactly be categorized, can't be written in Shulchan Aruch. But we learn them because we know a hanhaga. We know certain person or a certain individual, a certain gadol was noig a certain way. From there we learn a certain way of living and a certain way of behaving. I remember for me, observing certain gedolim and hearing things and just never thought of it that way. I want to share with you a couple of maisim like that. I remember, this is not so long ago, a couple of years ago, I went Motzi Shabbos. There was a rumor that Reb Don Segel was leaving the next day to America. And I wanted to go. I wanted to speak to him about something before I had a chance to before I knew he was going to America. I wanted to talk to him. So I came to the house, and lo and behold, outside his house, there's about 25 people outside, all waiting to speak to Reb Don. And it was like a madhouse. Everybody must have heard he was leaving. Everybody must have needed him. So they all wanted to talk to him. So after a while, people, they were knocking on the door every once in a while. It was getting really out of hand, banging the door. Finally opened the door. He opens the door. He blinks his eyes. He says, Rabotai. He says, Lo achshav kabbalat kahal. This is not public time. This is not, this is Motzi Shabbos. So he didn't really know what to do. But he pointed to me. He knew I wanted to see him. He pointed to me, made like his finger, you can come in. So I pushed my way through the crowd, went in. I walk in, and then he closes the door. And a person sticks his foot in the door that he can't close the door. Now, as you're hearing the story, I'm sure your reaction is probably mine. I mean, what a chutzpah. And I felt at the moment like, you know, I wanted to give him a, what kind of thing to do? What do you think Mashgiach did? He gives him the biggest smile you ever see. Biggest smile. He says, Kacha noagim.
ככה נוהגים? זה בית פרטי, לא נוהגים ככה. לא יפה, לא יפה. And the guy looks at him and just quietly pulled his foot back in and he closed the door. I learned right there. That's something that you couldn't read, you couldn't learn in Shulchan Aruch. It's something you can only see. You see someone behave a certain way and you learn a certain hanaga. And I know that many times I came when I sat in the Mashgiach's house also. People normally, when you invite someone into your home, the derech is, the person sits at the head of the table, and especially if it's in your own home, and you sit down somebody next to you, because that's where you sit on Shabbos, you sit at the head of the table. I realized one day that every time I go in to see Reb Dan, he sits across from me from the table. He never sits at the head of the table. And it dawned on me that that's also an hug of midas. He doesn't want to, you know, like a sorora on another, make you feel comfortable, make you feel equal. Little things, but I noticed it. I remember another maisa, another story with Reb Dan. I remember once I'm talking to him, and the Rebbetzin came in. The phone was ringing. At that point, he wasn't using a private phone. He was using cell phones, and the cell phone was ringing incessantly. And the Rebbetzin came in and said a name of a certain Gadol, recognized Gadol. He said, he's on the phone. He's calling. He wants to speak to you. So the Mashgiach said to her, "Ma ze mishaneh midaber achshav im Rav Bukler?" And I was aghast. And the phone kept ringing. And I said, and he said, "Ani midaber itcha karega. I'm talking to you." Then he said to me something very interesting. He said, "Kachi darki," always. And he said, whenever I'm talking to somebody, I don't let cell phones interrupt. That's not right. That's not nice. That's not midas. It doesn't matter who it is. You're talking to a person, don't let phones interrupt. How many times, guys, I know I said to myself at the moment, how many times are we talking to someone, or talking to our friend, talking to anybody? I talk to my mother sometimes. You get a phone call, you plug your phone. How many times do we do this? Shkiach was saying to me, that's not how we behave. That's not a proper anhaga. And the phone kept ringing. And finally, I told him, listen, I'm Michael. Now, I don't know if I was Michael or not, but I was curious to hear the conversation between them. I wanted to know what he was calling about. So that was really where I was coming from. But amazing. I remember once walking with Rav Ruderman in a hospital. He went to visit his wife, the Rebbetzin. And we had been there a long time, many hours, and I wasn't a very good gabbai. I should have realized he was thirsty. And we passed, as we were walking, we passed a water fountain. A water fountain. So he asked me to bring him a cup. I should go find a cup. So I stopped for a moment. I blinked my eyes, we've all seen water fountains, right? So I told him, "Sister Me, Azoy v'yohund? I should, like a dog? You want me to bend over like a dog?" I have to admit that over the years, ever since that maisa, I've passed water fountains. And once in a while, I've used them. And every time I bend over, I say, "Oy, Azoy v'yohund." We have to be very careful. Sometimes we hear stories of anhagas of gedolim. You can't take every story and, I'm going to be like that. Someone else tried to do that. Loit. Loit was living in Stein, and the people came to attack. And what did he do? Brought out his daughters. Said, "Take them." What was he thinking? He was thinking, I'm a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a Baal Chesed. He was always giving things. I'll do the same thing. I'll give them my daughters. Something's wrong. That is when we are just being a cheap imitation. We're not understanding the cheshbonos of godless. You need a gadol to make these cheshbonos. But gedolim, and only gedolim, have that ability and have that koyach to make those cheshbonos. And you know what? Even gedolim were makpid to go b'darchei avoseihem. tell you two stories. There was once in Eretz Yisrael, many, many years ago, back, right after the creation of the state, it was talk that the Agudas Yisrael party would run together with Mizrahi, one party. And there was a Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah meeting to discuss the issue. And Rav Aaron Cutler was there. Rav Aaron Cutler always flew into Eretz Yisrael for elections. And he was at the Moetzes meeting, and he stood up, and he gave a fiery drusha, explaining why it was important and it was mukruch for the parties to, and the frum parties and the religious parties should all run together. And a fiery drusha, if you know, Rav Aaron's drushas were like that, power with raya after raya and how important it is. While he's talking, one of the members of Knesset, of Shlomo Lawrence, passed him a little petek and put it in front of him. And it said on it, the Habriskarav Mitnaged. Rav Mibris Mitnaged. The Briskarav is against. He's against them running together. So Rav looked, he saw it. So he stopped his drush immediately and walked out. He came back 45 minutes later and got up and gave a drusha about how it's absolutely awesome. It's awesome for the parties to run together. It's an Easter gummer. Where'd he go? He went to ask the Briska Rav. This is what you hold? Came right back. That's what we have to do. Like just like the Gdalim. You know, Rav Ruderman was essentially the same age as Rav Aaron. According to my Cheshbonis, they were pretty close. In fact, you may not know, but they were first cousins. Rav Ruderman, I learned in Ner Yisrael. Where's Chechik? Is he here? Not here? What's he? Okay. Anyway, I learned in Ner Yisrael. In Ner Yisrael, the Rashiva there was Rav Ruderman. I had a very good kesha with him. And of course, he was first cousins with Rav Aaron. They had, Rav Aaron's father-in-law was Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer was a brother-in-law of Rav Shechtel Kramer. Rav Shechtel Kramer was Ruderman's father-in-law. Therefore, they were first cousins. But Rav Ruderman's chashivas for Rav Aaron was unbelievable. And I remember one time, I was talking to the Rashiva, and his daughter, Rebbetzin Weinberg, was standing next to him. And she said to me that one time Rav Aaron came to visit. And I walked into the bathroom, and I found my father, Rav Ruderman, on his hands and knees with a squeegee and a towel, scrubbing the toilet. And I said, Abba, let me do it. Actually, she said, Papa, let me do it. And he said, for as I godel, I do it. Fast forward, many years later, I told this story to Shmuel Wagner, Shkiach and Or Yerushalayim. And he told me, his Rebbe was Michael Feinstein. Michael Feinstein was a son-in-law by the Briska Rav. He said they came Rav Michael Feinstein's, Feinstein was moving into a house in Bnei Brak. And they came to the house to clean it up, make it nice before he gets there. And they found Rav Dan Segal there, on his hands and knees with a squeegee, wiping the floor. Wasn't in the bathroom, but he was on the floor, wiping the floor. That's how you reneg with Gedolim. I want to share with you one last story. Somebody once asked me a question. There's a big machloikis. When a person drinks, you drink a revis of any liquid, orange juice, any kind of juice, not wine. You drink juice, a revis of juice. And the question is, how fast do you have to drink the juice in order to make a bracha achrayna? So we have a machloikis. Some say, kedei achilas pras, kezayis kedei achilas pras. And some say, kedei shtiyas revis. Obviously, kedei shtiyas revis is very fast, 20 to 30 seconds approximately, the Pesukim say. Kedei achilas pras kezayis is much longer. It's a big difference. It's not clear in Shulchan Aruch what the halacha is. Somebody asked me once, what's the halacha? How do we paskin? So I told him, I'll tell you a maisa. I once asked my father-in-law, his name is Rabbi Huda Parnas. He's been a Rebbe for 60 years between Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan and Lander College, Beis Medrash. He's been there. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And I asked him this question. Who's the halacha like?
Kedei achilas pras or kedei shtias revis? And he said to me, I'll tell you a maisa. He said to me, I was Barab Shlomo Zalman Arbach. And I asked him, what's the halacha like? Kedei achilas pras or kedei shtias revis? And he said, I'll tell you a maisa. I was Barab Issa Zalman Meltzer. And I asked him, kedei achilas pras or kedei shtias revis? And he said, I'll tell you a maisa. Said I was by the brisker of. And I asked him, kedei achilas pras or kedei shtias revis? And he said, said I was by my father, the Reb Chaim. And I asked Reb Chaim, kedei achilas pras or kedei shtias revis? And he said, I'll tell you a maisa. Said I was by my father, the Beis Halevi. And I asked him, Kedei Achilas Pras, Kedei Shlias Revis. And he said, Kedei Achilas Pras. So Rabbeisai, that's Kamadiris on one little maisa. And the next time you have a chance to tell this over, you'll tell everybody, I'll tell you a maisa. And that's how the Maseirah goes. Dor, achar dor, achar dor. And that's the way we do it, and we follow Darkei Avosenu. Okay.
Okay. Who'd you go to? Wait, go back. Father, you went to?